Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
Well, good morning to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Chris Woodward, reporter for OneNewsNow.com. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And then from an undisclosed bunker in Kansas City, I think Kansas City, Missouri, right, Pritchard?
No, I'm on the other side. I'm on the Kansas side.
Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah.
Dr. Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries. Good morning to you, Ray.
Good morning, Ed. How are you this fine morning?
I'm doing wonderful. Chris, just a great day in the country last night. Very peaceful and quiet.
Yes.
No, not that there's anything funny about, please don't email me, folks. Nothing funny about rioting. It's just the absurdity with which we start this program sometimes, thinking that we might just be able to talk sports or, you know, a little bit of light politics, but we've come through a couple of months of the coronavirus and shutdown, lock in place, and now it's deaths and lawsuits and fire and brimstone and...
Right.
Nothing quiet about life here this in 2020.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was that we were talking about, but my wife and I were talking about something a couple of nights ago, and it was only a few months ago that it had happened, but I was like, man, that feels like 7 years ago. I mean, in this news cycle, I mean, 15 minutes is ancient.
Yes. Well, and also, what's also kind of crazy is you begin a new year like we begin 2020.
Yeah.
You literally never know what's going to happen. You know, I had... You know, high hopes for 2020, and man, it has been kind of a brutal year.
Yeah, it really has. I've joked before, there hasn't been a slow day since the Bush administration, and by that I mean the H.W. Bush administration. And it seems to be getting more of a difficult situation, but we do our best.
Well, I'll just say this, not to go all spiritual. It's clear that God is trying to get the attention of the people of America, including the church. I'm not sure if we're not listening, but the heat is getting turned up. By the way, stick around because at 10:30 we'll have Sandy Rios on. She's a director of governmental affairs and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning. That is heard weekdays at 7 a.m. Central Time. I listen to Sandy on the way into work most mornings, and boy, she had some really incredible things to discuss, and we'll talk to her about some of the things having to do with... the riots that have been going on and attacks on police and what have you. So, Chris, there's no way to further delay this. Let's dig into the muck and the mire.
Right. Well, speaking of the rioting and looting, curfews have already been imposed for this evening in several major cities, including New York and Washington, D.C., as groups of Americans continue to protest the police-involved death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. The president, of course... spoke to the nation last night from outside the White House. We're going to do some sound here, Brent. President Trump said his first and highest duty as president is to defend our great country and the American people. Clip one.
I swore an oath to uphold the laws of our nation, and that is exactly what I will do. All Americans were rightly sickened and revolted by the brutal death of George Floyd. My administration is fully committed that for George and his family, justice will be served. He will not have died in vain. But we cannot allow the righteous cries and peaceful protesters to be drowned out by an angry mob. The biggest victims of the rioting are peace-loving citizens in our poorest communities. And as their president, I will fight to keep them safe.
Now, in that same address, the president went on to say that he was going to dispatch the military to help combat the rioting and looting, things like that. You guys may have seen the address. You've heard the sound bites, things like that. You've read up on it this morning. What, if anything, from the president's remarks stood out to you?
Well, Ray, I'll just start off and say this. I think the president has the balance exactly right on this. Justice must be done. The problem is justice can't be done in chaos, and you've got to have a system that operates according to the laws. It has to be dispassionate in a sense, because it has to deal with the facts, not feelings. So I am looking forward to true justice being done in this case, the death of George Floyd. But I got to admit, Ray, I am very suspicious about the genesis of a lot of what we see happening in these larger cities. I'm normally very suspicious about these kind of things. Now, I'm not saying there aren't local people who are breaking into stores and looting. I'm sure some of them are local, but I think the heart of this is from the outside. I believe this is, as some people have been saying, this is an insurrection. Mm-hmm. And I think this is coming from groups outside of these cities that are instigating, and I think the president has it exactly right. Those kind of people need to be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Well, first of all, Ed, you used a very interesting word when you were talking about the George Floyd case. You said justice needs to be dispassionate, meaning free from inflammatory rhetoric, free from the pull of passions and emotions that force us in one direction or another. If there's ever a word that does not describe the climate of America today, it is dispassionate. Everybody mm-hmm. on all sides is upset, concerned, worried. It's going to be difficult, at least in the short run, to get to that dispassionate state. But that's what justice is all about. It's, you know, the blind, you know, the woman with the blindfold holding the scales, the idea that you are going to take out the emotional appeals and just look at the facts of the case. One can hope that will happen. And I agree. I don't think anything's changed in the last 24 hours. Americans were revolted by what we saw on that video, and we still are. Mm-hmm. And we want George Floyd to get the justice he deserves. He deserves it. His family deserves it. So one hopes that will happen. Second, we just have to say the truth, that what is happening in the major cities of America, Chicago, New York, Washington, Los Angeles, with every passing hour, not just day, Ed, every passing hour, seems to go further and further away from having anything to do with George Floyd and getting him justice. Now, he's passed, but you know what I mean, that right. If we've gone far away from that, Ed, mm-hmm. it just now appears to be looting for the sake of looting. And we're approaching, in some cases, a state of, it looks like they're hoping for anarchy to break out.
Yeah, and I think that they are. And that's why I'm saying I don't think these are the protesters. The protesters, in my opinion, they want something. They want something to change. They, and I'm talking about primarily those in the minority community, feel like their relationship with the police is one of mutual hostility. They want that to change. They want to be able to trust members of the police to have their back and to do what's right and not to have these kinds of senseless acts result in the death of yet another black man. I think that's a legitimate exercise of the First Amendment. You're gathering to speak and petition the government for a redress of grievances. We want these things to change. 1, 2, 3, 4. That is legitimate. I don't think these are the people who are at the heart of what is happening now, that these, as you said, Ray, these riots, these demonstrations, these beatings, a lot of people probably have seen this guy with an American flag, he gets beat, people trying to defend their stores, they get beat senseless. I don't think that has anything to do with George Floyd, and I think that we are seeing what the far left groups in this country want to create in every city, because what they want to do is bring down the government so they can replace it with what they want. Now, I don't think that's going to succeed, mm-hmm. but in the short term, you're going to see monumental destruction in the inner cities. I saw a video just before coming on the program, an elderly black woman weeping because the rioters had destroyed every store within her neighborhood. She said, these are the stores I go to get what I need. The buses aren't running because of the rioters. How am I going to get food? How am I going to get what I need? Now, those are the real victims here of these rioters, and their cities and communities are being destroyed, and it has nothing to do with George Floyd. Anyway, that's my two cents.
Well, you know, as we talked about a lot yesterday, it's well known that a lot of the people involved in the rioting, the looting, destruction, things like that, are members of what is widely known as Antifa. And President Trump and his administration do intend on declaring Antifa a terrorist group if they haven't already formally done so. The reason I bring this up is because last night, a former Antifa member named Gabriel Nadales was on the Ingram Angle on Fox News Channel, and Mr. Nadales said that he bashed Antifa, saying the group is fighting for nothing but what he called failed leftist socialist ideology. Clip 8.
Antifa pretends to be about fighting fascism, but then they define fascism as basically anything that does not conform with a radical leftist agenda, which goes back to exactly what President Trump is doing. I'm incredibly happy that he finally declared Antifa a domestic terrorist organization, because that really helps fight against this false narrative that Antifa is fighting anything but for their failed leftist socialist ideology.
Now, one other clip, too, before we...
And he's a former
discussion.
Member of
former
Antifa.
Member. So who would know better than him? It, you know, I'm certainly not familiar with the organization beyond they're in the news a lot and we cover them. But also part of that segment was Dinesh D'Souza, filmmaker, author, things of that sort. He told the Ingram Angle that the purpose of Antifa is to intimidate and beat you into submission. Clip 9.
And the dirty little secret is that powerful people in Hollywood, in academia, and the media believe that they need a paramilitary. They need a paramilitary because the socialist ideas that they believe in cannot win on their own merits. You have to sort of put the other guy up against the wall. And so it's very convenient for them that you've got this kind of little army. By the way, other socialist regimes around the world, like in Venezuela, they have the same thing. Colectivos, these former criminals who now ride around in motorcycles, and they carry the same equipment, cement blocks, they carry sticks. What's their job? To beat up small business owners, to beat up political dissidents. So this is not about fighting fascism. This is about ultimately fighting people who stand in the way of the socialist left.
Now, these people that Dinesh D'Souza is talking about are among those responsible for the elderly black lady not being able to get something from her stores.
Right.
Something, she's not able to ride public transportation. There are other cases of riots and looting, things like that, involving people that don't have anything to do with Antifa. They've never been to a meeting or whatever they want to call it, things like that. But a lot of what he said there is, you know, Dinesh is not the only one to ever say as much and probably won't be. But definitely among the many reasons why a lot of people are supporting President Trump for finally labeling these people a terrorist organization. And it's not like they're relatively new to the American landscape. They've been around for a long time. So one has to wonder why we just now got around to it, but at least we're getting around to
it. Well, and the tactics as Dinesh D'Souza and this other gentleman, what was his name?
Gabriel Nadales.
Nadales, okay. Mm-hmm. What they were talking about is the kind of the weapons of these kind of groups, the BRICS. I don't know if you guys saw the I saw a video of a black lady, it looked like a younger, like a in her mid-20s or something. She was arguing with a group, a carload of, I think, like white kids, and I'm guessing they were probably Antifa or these other kind of leftists. And what they'd been doing is driving around, handing out bricks to young black men to go and bust out windows. And this black girl took the brick back, gave it back to him, and said, "Why are you handing these to young black men? Don't you know they can get in serious trouble or even get, you know, killed with them?" And to me, that is part of the strategy. They are using the legitimate anger and protest over the George Floyd killing to their own wider, broader ideology and agenda to try to bring down this country. Now, the tactics that they are using, you know, if people read history of the conflict in Germany between the two world wars, between the Nazis and the communists, they both had their paramilitary groups. And in terms of Germany, the Nazis eventually, with Hitler, got the upper hand. But they both used these kind of street gangs to intimidate, not only intimidate their opponents, but to stop discussion, true discussion, because they didn't want true discussion. They wanted their side to win. I personally think, Ray, I'm starting to get a little radical in some of my ideas too. I personally think that if you're at a protest, it should be illegal to wear a mask. I think you should be arrested for wearing a mask, because I'm tired of seeing what looks to me like spoiled little white kids wearing these black Antifa masks and then they're coming up behind people and sucker punching them and kicking them when they're down. I think you should be arrested. If you're at a protest and you wear a mask, you should be arrested, and there should be some sort of charge.
We are living in strange times, Ed, when I suppose some of the protesters could argue back, we're just following the CDC guidelines. Yeah. You know,
well, you got me
trying to flatten the curve.
Such a strange world we are living in.
Trying
right
to flatten
now.
The curve.
Right.
Well, okay. So, in general, I don't think any of them wearing masks to flatten the curve.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah. But it is. I get your
it
point.
It is the irony of the time in which we are living. Yeah. Clearly. We're having a hard time. I mean, not just we on the air, but just Americans have a hard time separating some of these things, because we say again, we look at what happened to George Floyd, and we want to see justice done. And whatever wrong was perpetrated there against him, hold that officer or anybody else fully accountable in a court of law, right? But you can't jump from there to in any way justify the looting, burning, breaking into buildings, breaking into Target, breaking into, you know,
beatings.
The Louis Vuitton store, and certainly not the burning of the police station. That, to me, you know.
I saw a video yesterday of some girl. She was wearing a mask. It was during stores were being broken into. Mm-hmm. Did you see her? She was walking out of Cheesecake Factory with an entire cheesecake.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
I thought, this is insanity.
First of all, what kind? No.
Oh, yes.
Okay, see, okay. Chris, you and I were thinking the same thing. It just depends.
I identify as a cheesecake eater, so, you know.
Well, listen.
It's not right. It's still theft.
No, it's looting. Yeah. It's looting.
And I understand.
One more bizarre thing.
I do understand the police not wanting to spur violent confrontations with unarmed people. I understand that.
Right.
But at the same time, these are people's businesses being destroyed, and we talked about it yesterday, that precinct, I guess, it was in Minneapolis, I think, wasn't it? The one where they just abandoned ship, and they burned it. They walked into the third precinct in Minneapolis and burned it. You know, that can't happen.
Let me ask you guys this. It's the reason I bring this up, let me go back a few years. Before I started here at AFR, I worked at a television station in a big city. There was a school shooting somewhere else in the country, and we were covering that, and I took a phone call from a lady who said, you guys need to stop giving these school shooters attention. Just don't talk about it on the news. And I said, thank you for calling, and hung up the phone. It wasn't the only phone call we ever got from somebody sharing that opinion, and many people do have that opinion. I work in news. If it happens and people are talking about it, we're going to tell you about it so that way you can be informed.
Right.
But do you guys think we would be doing better? Should news media focus less on the Antifa types and more on the protesters, if that's what really is the big event? You know, like, should we stop giving the white, spoiled suburbanite kids in these masks the attention they're seeking by covering their efforts?
I don't think that that's a rational response to what's happening from a news organization, and, you know, from American Family News and One News Now and from this program, because it is happening, and I believe that Antifa has designs. I think they're ultimately going to fail.
Right.
I don't think most Americans believe in these tactics. I would say probably 98% despise what these people are doing. So they're not going to succeed, but they are a danger. Mm-hmm. They're a danger to individuals in the area, to businesses, to neighborhoods, and people can and will probably die at their hands. But I think it's important that people understand what's happening.
Sure.
And so I really doubt that Antifa types are listening to this program and are feeling emboldened because we're covering it. I don't think that's happening. Ray, feel free to disagree.
We've got police officers who are under attack across the country by, and we're not going to say protesters, but I'm talking about the looters, the criminals, the Antifa types, those that they were under attack last night in Las Vegas, in Buffalo, New York City, Chicago, and in Washington, D.C. So we got to cover that part of the story.
Right.
We have to. We don't have any, we don't want to glorify anybody. And we want to say, if you're a peaceful protester and you're out there obeying the law, but you're exercising your constitutional right, God bless you. You know, stay peaceful, stay safe, right?
Right.
You're acting within the law. But the real story, at least this morning, or a big part of the story this morning, is that our country's being torn apart by people who, in some cases, I think want to see it torn apart. We've got to speak out about that.
Right.
Yeah. One of the other big issues from yesterday's events is after his remarks, which occurred in the 7 p.m. Eastern hour, 6 p.m. Central time frame, the president and his members of his security detail and Mark Meadows and other folks there with the administration walk across the street to St. John's Episcopal Church. That was the church, 200-some-odd years old, that was burned partially by rioters and looters, things of that nature. The president walked out there, held up a Bible, took some pictures, things of that nature. It was a big event to see a president, any president, walk across unannounced and go somewhere like that, anywhere in D.C. But anyway, the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington, she condemned President Trump's visit and his actions. She said, and I quote, "Let me be clear, the president just used a Bible, the most sacred text of the Judeo-Christian tradition, and one of the churches of my diocese without my permission as a backdrop for a message antithetical to the teachings of Jesus and everything that our churches stand for." One of the things that the bishop was really upset about was the fact that law enforcement had used tear gas to disperse the crowds outside the White House around this same time, and she's upset about that. But one of the people coming to Trump's defense is Senator Marco Rubio, who the president has had issues with over the past few years. And Senator Rubio said, they knew the street needed to be cleared before the 7 p.m. curfew, talking about the District of Columbia, but they deliberately stayed to trigger police action and get the story they wanted, that police attacked peaceful protesters. This is exactly the story. Fred Jackson, who's on vacation this week and still watching news and emailing us, because God bless him, the man, he's involved in some news. He keeps us informed. But Fred mentioned, you know, I went to the gym today, and MSNBC, CNN, CNBC, they're all talking about the bishop and her opposition to the president. So if you want to go with what Rubio said, they got the story they wanted.
Well, listen, I've talked plenty about what my feelings about the Episcopal Church, broadly speaking. Now, there are many conservative Anglican churches around the world that are holding to the teachings of the Bible, but the Episcopal Church in this country, and again, I'm not talking about there are conservative Anglican churches in this country, but the Episcopal Church in this country is off the rails and is lurching towards just abominable teachings and denying the truth of Scripture. I don't know who this bishop is, but that church for a decade or more has been a leftist church. I am not shocked that she criticizes the president and suddenly feels protective of the message of the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't think she knows the message of the Bible, nor did I think she believes the true message of the Bible, because that church has been a leftist denomination and denies the teaching of the scriptures on human sexuality, marriage, family. It's done so for almost 20 years now.
Yeah, Bishop Marianne Edgar Bude, if I'm saying her name correctly, that's the bishop. I was just hung up on the fact that she said he used her diocese without her permission. Like, what pastor?
He doesn't need her permission anyone, to stand in front of the church and defend the church from the looters who tried to burn it down.
Yes.
How insane
is it for this bishop to criticize the president for that stance? But I guarantee if you asked her, she's in full support of the rioters.
Oh, sure.
So I this is the kind of person I don't even listen to anymore. In my opinion, she is not a true authority figure for the real Church of Jesus Christ. So anyway, I've been fired up this week.
Mic drop.
This is mic drop. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. Sandy Rios is on deck. We're bringing her in from the bullpen. Make sure you join us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
All too often, many of us, we're disengaged. We're parenting on autopilot, we're being husbands and wives on autopilot, and that we've allowed the fire of intention and purpose to smolder and to be vanquished.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Anarchists have been allowed to sweep across many American cities with hardly any opposition from blue state governors or the White House. Historic St. John's Church in Washington, D.C. set on fire. The Lincoln Memorial defaced with vandalism. Thousands of stores pillaged and plundered. These are not protest, folks. They're riots. It's clear to me our nation is at war, and the enemy is well-funded, well-coordinated, and well-connected. Some say it's George Soros. Others say it's Antifa or Black Lives Matter. And as we saw over the weekend, in many instances, police were told to stand down. Many of our fellow American citizens arming themselves, setting up neighborhood watches, taking personal responsibility for their safety. History teaches us that Rome burned while Nero fiddled. And one day, history might teach us that America burned while our government leaders tweeted. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Chris Woodward, reporter for One News Now, and also by Dr. Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries. He's in the lovely and peaceful city of Kansas City, Kansas, and he has joined us as well. Chris, tell our listeners a little bit about One News Now and where they can, what is One News Now? Mm-hmm. How do people kind of get signed up for that? What they get if they do, that kind of thing.
Yeah, onenewsnow.com is the print operation of American Family News. So oftentimes what you hear on the radio at the top of every hour, you can find on our website in the form of a print article. We also have a lot of Associated Press material, some of the same articles you'll find on many other news outlets and their websites. We've got columns from people like Dr. Alex McFarland, Dr. Michael Brown. Star Parker has written a number of things we've published in recent days. We also have commentary from Ben Shapiro and a number of other conservative commentators out there. But onenewsnow.com is where basically the radio sides of things wind up in print. We also have podcasts now. You might have heard the promos about that. So Rusty Pugh, myself, Steve Jordahl, Chad Groening, other folks that anchor we'll put some of the newscasts at various points of the day on the website, so that way you can go to the website, you can read things, you can catch up to stuff.
There's videos.
Videos are very popular. And also, we talked about the email signups yesterday. Email signups are available. You go to onenewsnow.com, enter your email address, and once a day you'll get five or six stories, the big stories that we're covering. So that way you don't even have to go to the website. You can just log on to your email and still go to onenewsnow.com.
All right, onenewsnow.com. Once a day, we're very proud of the fact that we do not pester you. Once a day, you'll get the stories that Our editors feel like are kind of the breaking news of the day. So go to onenewsnow.com. All right. Before the break, I mixed my baseball metaphors. I said that Sandy Rios was on deck and we're bringing her in from the bullpen. I think we're going to stick with bringing her in from the bullpen because we have Sandy Rios in here to throw the high heat when we're dealing with stories. Sandy Rios is Director of Governmental Affairs. She's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, heard weekdays on American Family Radio at 7 a.m. Central Time. Sandy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Ed. My pleasure.
I listened to you this morning on the way into work. I try to do that most days. And talk about throwing high heat. You were on fire talking about the growing violence and anarchy in some of our major cities. Who's behind this? And really what is becoming evident, a series of attacks on police last night. So why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about what you think is behind this anarchy? This is kind of tongue-in-cheek. Is this just all protesters, or is there something more insidious at work?
Well, the answer is yes, there's something more insidious at work. And actually, you know, we knew this the day after President Trump was elected. Well, not the day after, but the day of his inauguration. That's when this, at least the official start of the resistance, began. And remember the Women's March took place that day. Some of us were in D.C. for the inauguration, so we saw it firsthand. And the language and the incendiary remarks on that stage were a precursor to what we're seeing in our streets. Remember that Madonna actually said, you know, we're going to, I'd like to bomb the White House. I'd like to blow it up. The language was unbelievable, and that's when the official resistance to President Trump began. But keep in mind, the focus on him is really it's another ploy, because the real focus is on destroying the American system of government. It's on destroying this country and remaking it in the vision of the leftists, the socialists, the communists, which are actually the ones out on the street. Now, there are a lot of black protesters who are very upset about the death of George Floyd for good reason. But their movement has been co-opted by what are many, many white members of Antifa. In fact, there was last night, or two nights ago in D.C., I saw a video of someone speaking Mandarin Chinese who was in the middle of the protests. So we have, it looks like we've got members of the Chinese Communist Party, Antifa. We've got Black Lives Matter. And then I have a list of probably about 50 groups that are involved in the coordination of these riots, not to the least of which just like Planned Parenthood, LGBT forces. I could go on, National Education Association, American Federation of Teachers, SEIU. I mean, it's an endless list. They've been cooperating together for since the time of the Obama administration, and this is their day in the sun, where they hope they can start a race war and blame it on Trump, get him out of office, and take over the country. It's as simple as that.
Hey, Sandy, it's Chris here. You know, for a couple of years after he was elected, and really in the weeks after the election, we heard from a lot of people on the left that Donald Trump was going to be a dictator. He was acting like a dictator. We need to replace him as soon as possible, things like that. I'm paraphrasing the quotes. Coronavirus becomes a household word, and all of a sudden people want him to lock it down, shut down the country, and therefore be the dictator that they said he was going to be. And now they're upset because he's saying, I'm going to dispatch the military and we're going to shoot if you loot and things like that. Are they trying to, or are there at least some people on the left that want him to declare martial law and therefore justify their claims or opinions that he is trying to be a dictator?
Oh, I'm sure there are, Chris. Keep in mind when you look at these things and you try to analyze them, that logic has nothing, what's normal common sense logic has nothing to do with what's happening. See, we operate in a universe where we hold certain principles. or we argue with people in good faith over certain things that we believe, and we try to come to an understanding. The left really does believe that whatever it takes to gain power, that's what's right. So if they have to kill, attack, lie, blame, manipulate, destroy, fill in the blanks, whatever they do in the pursuit of that glorious gain of power where they're going to, you know, establish this wonderful socialist, communist state, is righteous. They believe that's right. So that's why what they do makes no sense. And they argue on both sides all the time because it's whatever is to their advantage and however they can mold people's minds or brand the president or any of us with, you know, we are what? AFA is what? What are we? If I give you that and I say, what are we? What would you say? What's AFA to the left?
You mean, they think we're fascists.
Yes. Yeah. Right-wing extremists, right. Fascists, religious extremists. And for the SPLC, we're a hate group, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they label, and it doesn't have to be rational. It's a branding. And so they will be all over the map, and it will never be logical. It will never be just they have a different viewpoint of how to make this country great. No, they have a different destination. It's the total destruction of what you and I know. Capitalism, free markets, religious Christian values. Look at how they're attacking the churches.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not an accident. They're, you know, their father is Satan. Their father is the liar. He's he's the father of all lies, and he is the father of death and destruction, and they're just doing his bidding. And it, you know, remember that when God created, it was void and dark, and one of the things that God did was bring order out of chaos. He brought order. Our God is a God of order. He places the stars in the sky and the He separates the water from the land, and he creates cycles of, you know, seasons and weather. But Satan is the opposite. He's chaos, confusion, you know, desperation. And that's what we're seeing. We are seeing in living color.
A lot of fear as well.
Yes.
Ray, why don't you jump in?
Sandy, last night the president went to the Rose Garden, made a speech, called himself a law and order president, then walked across the street to St. John's Church, held up the Bible, which people on the left roundly criticized him for, called it a cheap photo op, and that would be a nice way of saying what they said about him. What are your thoughts on the president's speech? How did he do? And going across the street, standing in front of the church, how did the president do last night?
I thought it was terrific. I played the whole thing on my show this morning because I figured he wouldn't get much media coverage. They'd pull out clips. That's what they love to do. And so people don't really know their president. They know President Trump through through the lens of the left, excuse me, the leftist press. And so I think it's important, and that's why I often play whole speeches of his. Mm-hmm. But I thought he did a phenomenal job. And the thing of it is, many of us knew that inside the White House, he was getting advice not to do that. Let the governors take this. Let the mayors. You stay out of it. You know, don't get your hands dirty with this or so that you can be blamed for this or that. You're taking too much of a risk, blah, 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 blah. And what did he do? He went out and he spoke. And then he even walked over to St. John's and helped with that Bible. That was his idea. And I thank God for him. I think it was terrific, and I just want people to know, you know, he may be brash. He is brash. He may be careless. His language is not what we would choose. His tweets, blah, blah, blah. Look at what a man does, not what he says. And look what he's doing. It's just amazing to me. How can one man take the battering and bear the burden of this country on his shoulders and still be positive and try to give us hope for the future? Who could do that? Only some great men in the past that I can think of.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, our guest is Sandy Rios, Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association and host of Sandy Rios in the Morning, heard weekdays at 7 a.m. Central Time. Sandy, one of the things I think we'd be remiss if we did not talk for just a few minutes about the George Floyd death. I appreciated your show this morning because you had your husband on, who's former FBI agent, and you asked him about what probably most Americans have seen by now, and that is the horrifying video of George Floyd restrained in handcuffs, face down on the ground, with the police officer, Derek Chauvin, I think how you pronounce his name, with his knee on his neck for almost 10 minutes. Please explain what Bruce said about that particular tactic and whether or not police officers that or law enforcement officials that he's talked to, whether they approve in general of what Chauvin did. And then talk a little bit about the opportunism now where I'm guessing people on the left are now attacking police officers, even shooting them. We had four shot in St. Louis last night, one in Vegas, a Bronx hit and run caught on video. Take us through some of these kinds of things, but start with what Bruce said.
Well, Bruce pointed out, of course, he, as we said, he was in the FBI for a lifetime, for his adult life, and recently retired. He has lots of friends in the police community. He was, by the way, a prosecutor, so especially Chicago police. He knows a lot of them, and a lot of former policemen actually went to the FBI. So, you know, we have a flag outside our home, you know, the flag supporting the police. So we are a law and order family, and Bruce's point this morning was there's not a single person in his world that he's heard defend that policeman or say that he did the right thing. Everyone was offended and hurt and also just so frustrated that this policeman would have done such a thing at a time when police are already under attack, in such great danger in their neighborhoods. It's just been a free-for-all. We know that. Police have been shot and killed and targeted now for the last, since Barack Obama was in office and Eric Holder took the reins of the Justice Department. It became all-out war against police. And so for this policeman to really let the man die and cause his death and not do anything in spite of his pleas, it was just unconscionable. And so Bruce just reiterated what we all believe, what Americans are saying, what color of any American is saying that was, he deserved that. No one's saying that.
Right.
Everyone was upset. That's what Bruce was saying this morning. And as far as the police, the problem is then you have all of these. Now, there are people intentionally, like wickedly trying to turn Americans against their police force because they want an all-out race war. They want an all-out war against law and order. That's why they're emptying the prisons. Listen, they've got great plans for us, and they're not good, I can tell you. So they're emptying the prisons, and they're weakening the police. So here you've got these guys out there on the front line, some of them with horrible mayors, who don't have their back, don't care anything about them, and they're trying to protect your community. And they're trying to do the very best that they can. And you have now, I'm talking about the Americans who are just kind of watching the news and don't have a real agenda. Many of them are being persuaded that, oh, all police are now, they're racist. You see? We saw it in that clip right there. They're all racists, which is just not true. Besides, the police are all different races. That is a silly, right. That's a stupid statement, even on its face. And yet people who are kind of like in the middle and not really clued in fall prey to that. And they feel sympathetic to their black friends. And so they jump to the conclusion in order to please, I think, their black friends. And because they're not using their rational minds, they jump to the conclusion that policemen are racists and the black community should fear them all the time. And that's just not true. I mean, the stats do not bear that out, in spite of what you see in the headlines. What we don't see is the wicked members of the wicked parts of the black community who are doing so much crime, even killing their own people. Look at Chicago every weekend. You don't hear hardly anything about that. Mm-hmm. This is what the police are dealing with. There's a wicked strain among especially black men, and they are doing tremendous amounts of crime. And so now we're to think that all the police are racist and all black people are not racist, and that's not rational. And I always say as a Christian, look, with my black friends, I've always been honest because I care enough about them. I'm not going to pretend or feign something. I'm not going to say the politically correct thing in order to please them. I'm going to speak what I feel is the truth because they're my friends. And see, the height of racism is to say that you ought to say a certain thing because you're white or because we need to be truthful with each other because our friends in the black community don't need to have reinforced something that's been exaggerated and is getting whipped into a frenzy, worried about their black sons, their black husbands. And I understand that there's some measure of worry, but it's the worry's being stirred up by CNN, by others. And we have to bring some measure of common sense to all of this because the police really are out there to protect us in all the communities, not just the white communities.
Go ahead, Chris.
When do we go to break? Do we run into the end of the hour? Okay. All right. Well, by the way, I do want to mention this. The legendary Brent Creeley has posted the full transcript of the president's address last night on the Today's Issues Facebook page. So I agree with Sandy. It's a great idea to always play things in their entirety because some news outlets will say, well, we're pressed for time. We can only air so much. Others have an agenda, and then they'll use the we only have so much time as an excuse. So it's all the more reason to read the transcript for yourself. And as I mentioned, Brent has posted that for you guys, our listeners, on the Facebook page. Sandy, I want to mention this. Transitioning to a similar Trump situation, according to multiple reports, a group of Facebook employees participated in what's being described as a virtual walkout yesterday to protest the way Facebook handles posts from President Trump. Apparently, these Facebook employees prefer Facebook to do like Twitter and start flagging and blocking and doing things like that to things they don't want to see President Trump saying and posting and things of that nature. Any concerns from you, Sandy, that Facebook may go the way of Twitter?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. You know, Mark Zuckerberg last fall announced that they were going to be a neutral platform. They were not, especially on political races, they were not going to censor ads. They would not try to be the arbiter of truth for everyone. They would just kind of allow it to be what it was originally intended to be, which is like a free form of people's expression, with limits, of course, about violence and threats and all that. What they've been doing, what they did just about 2 weeks ago, was announce this governing board that they're going to start using. And they announced their 20 that they've appointed already. And now that we've looked at the list of people that are going to be deciding what you can post and what mm-hmm. you can't post, they're all, with the exception of two, one's a libertarian, one is a kind of quasi-conservative. The other 18 are mostly foreign nationals. They are radical leftists. I saw an additional report this morning that said most of them are affiliated with George Soros. That's what Facebook is doing. That's what Facebook is doing, and we will see it. It's maybe not there yet, but we're going to see the effects of what they just did very shortly in our Facebook pages. So, yes, I'm concerned about them.
Okay.
Ray, you got any last question or comment?
Yeah, I do have a question, Sandy. As we look ahead to the 2020 elections, this is a time of such turmoil. Okay, so we're here in early June, long, long time between now and November. But we see the polls, and a couple of them come out lately, Joe Biden opening, quote, a 10-point lead. In your mind, should the polls even be considered at a moment like this? Do they have any relevance at all?
Not really, because we can't trust the pollsters. I mean, there are some polls, there are some pollsters that are trustworthy, but I'd say most of them are not, Ray. Mm-hmm. Most of them are not. I would say Rasmussen is still a reliable poll. I would say some of the internal polls of these candidates are still are reliable, but we don't have access to them. Right. But no, Joe Biden and his team actually came out, I believe yesterday, maybe the day before, talking about how they're going to be paying the bail for the protesters the rioters who've been put in jail. They're going to pay their bail. Now, isn't that generous? Now, I have to say, I don't think that's going to win him a lot of election points, except among those that small percentage of Americans that feel like rioting is great and looting is wonderful, you know, and knocking people out, practically killing them on the streets, just individuals. There's a rash of that. It is unbearable. You think of the George Floyd is hard to watch. Watch Antifa and those street protesters, not protesters, it's too kind, rioters, come after individual people and beat them to a pulp, to near death. You need to get online and look at that stuff. And so for those people, those Americans that support that, then I'd say they'll be all out for Joe Biden. God help us if that's a huge percentage of Americans.
Well, and I think I mentioned last segment that I watched Tucker Carlson from last night, and he has some horrifying video of some of these beatdowns in the middle of the streets of some of our inner cities. And I'll tell you this, I'm increasingly a big fan of Tucker Carlson because he really tells it like it is. He called out Republican leaders and conservative leaders for their take on some of these riots. And listen, it's very easy to go with the crowd if you want the applause of the CNN types. But what is happening to the legitimate protests is, I think, a takeover of those legitimate protests and the spear point of an insurrection against the Trump administration, but more broadly speaking, our constitutional form of government. Sandy Rios has been with us. Sandy, thank you so much for being on with us and for all that you do in the mornings and all you do for American Family Association mm-hmm. and for this country, for the pro-life mm-hmm. cause, all these things. You have been a warrior for many, many years, and we appreciate you being on with us.
Thank you, Ed. That's a great compliment. Thank you so much.
All right.
Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Bye. Thank you. That's Sandy Rios. You can listen to Sandy in the morning, weekdays at 7 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. She really is a champion for a biblical worldview of these kinds of issues. All right. We got a couple of minutes here still. Chris, you got something you can toss in here at the end?
Yes. I'm going to speaking of the word toss.
Okay.
High school baseball and softball has returned to the American landscape, specifically in the great state of Iowa. High school baseball and softball returned yesterday. This is the first high school sports games to be played in the U.S. since the coronavirus and the government's response to it halted basically everything. Okay,
yes.
So they started playing again. Now, I'm reading from CBS Sports. As you might expect and maybe even prefer, numerous precautions are going to be taken to try to protect the safety of athletes, fans, coaches, things like that. Here are some of the precautions. Teams will go through temperature checks before games and practices. Dugouts will be closed off during practices. And equipment will be sanitized after use. Here's where it gets somewhat humorous. The spitting of sunflower seed shells is banned. Okay, so basically...
Hey, listen, as it should be.
We agree with that.
That is an American pastime for baseball. And maybe even, I don't know, maybe
that should have been banned a long time ago.
But one of the things I did want to point out, and I mentioned this in a news story already on this, any pitcher who blows on their hands will have to sanitize their hands before continuing to make sure the baseball or softball is not infected. So if you run out of timeouts, just blow on your hand. So that way we can bring out the germ juice, and you can rub the stuff all over you. But are you glad to see sports returning in some form or fashion?
Well, Ray, I'm just going to say this. I know, like, the NHL, if you've been listening for a long time, you know I'm a huge hockey fan.
Right.
Fred Jackson likes hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I like football, too. I like other sports, but I mostly watch hockey. They're talking about trying to save the end of the 2019-2020 season and have some playoffs. But, of course, they're not going to have fans in the stadiums. I'm not sure how much that's like real sports. I'm not sure. I might not even watch that kind of thing. I don't know.
What do you think? These NASCAR races in front of empty stadiums, it just looks a little weird to me.
Yeah.
Right? Don't you need the fans there for the real experience?
For hockey, you got to have the screaming
fans.
You got to have
fans. Beating on the glass.
If a fight breaks out and nobody was there to watch it, did it really happen?
So I don't know. It's a weird world right now. None of that's necessary. Sports is not necessary for life to continue, but it sure does make it a whole lot more fun. So anyway, folks, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. We will be back with more of today's issues. Please join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.